the U.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Yahweh! Ciao, Cross Monkeys! Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast! I'm Adam and Chiz.
And I am replying to a text that my wife just sent me, and she said, "And you ruined both of our phones." And I don't know what that means.
Oh no! Sounds like Steve Creep's life is on the rocks.
Yeah, it's a spiral. It's a spiral down to the rocks of Hades.
This is how it starts. You wreck your wife's phone, and she vindictively wrecks your life.
When you wreck your wife's phone, you wreck your marriage.
Hey, as a wise Christian comedian once said, happy wife, happy life.
I use that.
When?
In my daily routines. Oh. I use that phrase in everything, and I apply it mostly to my cat.
Right, of course. That makes the most sense. Happy cat, happy
wife.
Perfect. And then, thusly, happy wife, happy life. It all makes sense. It all connects.
Yeah. Well, you usually hear no and-then. In this case, there's an and-then.
And because of an and-then, we are talking about 2006's Step Up, because this is May I Have This Dance?
Yeah.
Eh?
That's a good one.
We didn't come up.
You gotta wait for the moment.
We didn't come up with a name for this month, but that kind of just came on the fly, and it kind of works.
Yeah. May I Channing your taint? Yum.
Yum. Well, don't get used to him, because I don't know if we'll be seeing him ever again after this.
I was just gonna say, I'm pretty sure he lops off after this one, and I am so excited to watch this movie and see how the series progresses, because I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them, but I don't remember any of them.
Oh, my brother in Christ, you're in for a real treat. You're in for a real treat, because the Step Up franchise is, after the Fast and the Furious, Step Up might be my favorite franchise.
Like, what I can remember, this might be in more insane, like, start to a series than Fast and the Furious, because at least Fast and the Furious has the racing, it has the guns and everything, and that just gets elevated. In this series, it seems like it just, like, just goes off the rails after the first movie.
Well, I'm a big fan of, obviously, I've seen the Step Up movies. Although, that being said, I didn't see the YouTube Red series that they put out, and I also didn't see Step Up China, because who cares? But I did see the original five are a phenomenal chunk of movie making, and watching this movie, it's like, oh, all the seeds for the rest of the movies are all planted here. Like, they took little things that worked in this movie and then just heightened them, elevated them to insane degrees as the franchise goes on.
So don't answer this, but like, I'm really interested to see if there's gun violence in the next movies and if anybody, you know, rips it.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, well, I guess we'll find out who's ripping what as the series goes on here.
That's a good way to talk about death in movies. Good way to ripped it.
Good way to talk about a child being gunned down in the street. Yeah. Oh, that kid totally ripped it.
Yeah, it kind of elevates it into more of a review of the film genre.
Right, because don't forget, Skinny is like 12 in this movie.
Is he 12?
He's, like, because Channing Tatum's supposed to be like 16 or 17.
Right, yeah, because he's starting his high school career.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, is he's like 6'5". Super jack dudes are like, oh, I gotta get my homework done. I just got my driver's license. It's beautiful. Channing Tatum was 25 when they made this movie.
25. He's a beautiful 25-year-old.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, he's like muscly in this movie, but he's still kind of got a twink body. Like, he's like a muscly twink, if that could be a thing. He's not the beefy G.I. Joe that we know him as today.
Very true. And you got to start off as a twink to get to a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And we all know that from posters online telling you how to work out.
Well, he's not Magic Mike yet. That's the thing. He's got to build up to Magic Mike, so.
Well, in Magic Mike, he kind of has the same body, but just like huge traps and huge lats.
Yeah, that's true. And pecs. Don't forget the pecs.
I think they're the same size, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, we don't get any topless shots in this movie of old C-Tate, so how can you tell?
You can't tell, and I want more nudity in these films.
Agreed. Oh, my God, agreed. Oh, a nude dance number? Why hasn't that been put on film yet? Don't be a coward, Hollywood. Give us a step-up all-nude review, please.
Hollywood and media in general in North America should get bigger balls. And apparently, in the mid-90s, they had them, because I was watching an episode of The Outer Limits the other day.
Oh, please stand by.
And full frontal nudity comes out, and it sits there, and I was slack-jawed. I couldn't believe that I was just seeing full-on frontal boobies.
Bruh, you were slacking off.
I was slacking off, but that's a euphemism for something else, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's Cockney rhyming slang.
Cockney rhyming slang sounds like it's a worse thing.
It is. Cockney rhyming slang sucks. It's dumb.
I like it.
Well, Cockney. You put the knee in Cockney. Hey, cock you, cock me.
Exactly.
Speaking of
that's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of Cockney, we need to do the Pure Boys Prayer.
Clap.
God bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please. Amen.
Man. And the nude women in question was none other than who's the boss's Alyssa Milano.
Oh, or a woman. Wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. I need to go back here. Did you really? So we're talking about like 1996's Canadian classic Outer Limits, a show that was aired on television, and you're telling me that Alyssa Milano is topless on that show?
Yeah, and it's not like a quick glance at the side or like a stolen like
valor
nipple reveal or stolen valor. Well, it was kind of stolen valor because yeah. She shouldn't be doing this, but she takes off her top and stares at the camera for seconds, and she is just topless and boobies out. Guy from Out Cold is also in that episode.
Zach Galifianakis?
No, the beautiful one.
I don't know who Zach Galifianakis. Damn, dude, you're right. Wow, that's wild. How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did that get on TV?
It blew my frickin' mind, and I watched this as a kid, and
no.
Emma must have blown my mind then. But they must have edited it out.
Yeah, there's no way that made it onto TV. Well, it must have, though. Boy, I guess I'm going to start watching The Outer Limits. Please stand by.
You might want to, because it gives the right amount of 90s nostalgia, but also these insane storylines that might just, like, be fear-mongering to the masses.
I remember there was an episode. Okay, hey, welcome to our Outer Limit Minute. Outer Limit Minute, that's not bad. I can't do another short form, but I'm already doing five short. I can't do the Outer Limit Minute. I just can't. Yeah. That would be insane to do a show like that. Would be even more insane than five short.
The problem is you don't need to do it every day. We could do it like monthly. We could do the Outer Limit Minute.
Right, there's much less episodes of Outer Limits than there is of Frasier.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Frasier is number one when it comes to episodes.
There was an episode of The Outer Limits where this episode messed me up. I'm just going to talk about this real quick. There was an episode of The Outer Limits where there was like a spaceship that crashed on a planet, and there was these alien life forms that like infected people, but then like infected their brains and made all their like fantasies come true. Like it made them like think they just imagined a new reality in their brain while they were being killed by this like parasite thing. And the whole episode goes on, and like the guy's fighting back. It's kind of like Alien a little bit. The one person's fighting back against him, and then he gets in a ship and flies away. And then the camera pulls out to reveal that he's just been infected the whole time, and he's just like laying in the spaceship. And the whole spaceship is covered in this like fungal bacteria, and everyone's dead. And as a kid, that like messed me up. I was just like haunted by that. I remember shutting off the TV and being like, oh my God. Like, oh, it was like the first unhappy ending I'd ever seen on TV, and it blew me away.
Watching The Outer Limits now, it's totally normal. Like, it is outrageous. Yeah. They do try to put fear in you, and they have all these, like, crazy storylines. But as an adult, you contextualize everything properly. Mm-hmm. But as a kid watching this, it's totally unhinged. Like, you should not be able to see these things or think about these things.
Yeah, you should not be able to see Alyssa Milano's big bazoos on network television. What's happening?
Well, they were very normal sized and right in the like Goldilocks zone. Yeah. Oh my God, were they nice boobs.
I was like, what is Goldilocks zone? What does that mean? Gross. No thanks. I don't need to see it eating Goldilocks zoned.
They're perfect.
Agreed. Alyssa, if you're listening, Steve Creep.
Come on the show.
Hey, talk about your yabos. Now they made it onto television somehow.
Well, you don't even need to come on the show because you can go to speakpipe.com/pureboys and leave us a voicemail and tell us all about your stories on The Outer Limits.
That's a beautiful thing. Please stand by. Please stand by from my heart.
The first season just has such huge stars and huge stars to be in every capacity. Mm. It's such a treat to watch.
Like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan, was he in an episode?
No, or? I'm thinking of Psi Factor, Chronicles of the Paranormal.
Yeah,
of course. Well, hey, speaking of Dan Aykroyd, that brings us to our first segment of the show, and that is, of course, What's in the News? How long will we keep this segment up? What do you got for us this week, Steve Creep?
Well, I went to BBC.com, not BBC1.tv.
Okay.
Which I don't know if it is a website. Don't go to that website and click on anything.
Don't type in show me the most BBC you can.
That's a good thing to type in for the AI.
Of course.
Algorithms.
For the chatbot.
Freak their bean.
For the GPT.
Speaking of AI, which I might only do stories about AI from now on because I like it.
Oh, yeah.
The anxiety of being replaced by AI. Many workers fear AI is coming for their jobs. Are they right? I haven't clicked into the article, but they are right, and it's going to happen.
I mean, sure, fine. Who cares, ultimately? Work sucks. I know. She left me roses by the stairs. Surprises lets me know she cares.
Your body is a wonderland, so stay at home and collect that free money.
That's right. Suck off the government teat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't clip that and have me saying suck off the government. Don't clip that. Or that. Oh, God.
Or that.
Hey, oh, my God, I love God.
God, there's the biggest snowstorm happening right now. That's the worst.
Oh, no. Here, it's a beautiful day. I got, the vegetables are growing. Spinach is growing. And peas. And our radishes. I can see our radishes from my window. That's how much they've grown. It's a beautiful thing.
It was so nice on Saturday. It was like plus 20 and like shirts off, guns out.
Of course.
All the snow melted and now it's gone. And of course, I'm at the top of the mountain in Haiti.
Of course.
And you're at the bottom of the mountain in Haiti where you get all the warmth and the beauty.
I walked out of my house this morning at 6:30 a.m. to check the garden and everything. And as I rounded the corner to go behind my house, a gigantic bull elk was out there just looking at me 10 feet away from me, and we had this beautiful moment standing in the warming up day and just staring at each other, and then it wandered off into the bush and it was a beautiful thing.
You know what I would do in that very similar moment? I would probably give him the finger and then hide it with my other hand, because that's good stuff.
Or you'd hold up your first three fingers and go, read between the lines, elk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Get off my land, elk.
As we should, as the alphas of this planet.
As the elves.
We gotta frick these frickers in the butt.
I mean, we're definitely the elves of this planet for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like the movie.
Yeah, he loved to eat cats.
He loved to eat cats.
I'm talking about elf. You might be talking about elf, but I'm talking about alien life form. Elf.
I was watching Austin Powers last night. And,
as you do.
Austin Powers 2. And it just really hit me how crazy that for a period of time, the biggest joke in America was about eating a baby and get in my belly.
Of course, yeah. It's that really took the world by storm. A man named Fat Bastard took the world by storm in 1999?
Yeah, so, yeah, 99, I think.
96 was the first. Well, anyway, who cares? Mm-hmm. This is nothing.
It was 99 because I looked up when Bowfinger came out because the woman.
Oh, Heather Graham, Felicity Shagwell. Yes, yes, of course. Oh. Wait, is that... Yeah, she's Felicity Shagwell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then
very well, reputation.
Vanessa Kensington. She's a fembot. She's a fembot the whole time.
Sadly, we knew.
Yeah, it's maybe my favorite joke in the movie is Basil is being like, well, we knew. It's like, you let me marry her, though. Like, you let me start a life with her. What do you mean?
Oh, that's Basil being Basil, baby.
Yeah, that's classic Basil. That's not your mother. That's a man, Basil.
Basil should be a fembot in the fourth one.
Oh my god, if that guy's not dead, he might be dead.
He might be dead, but you could AI.
That's true. You can't have number two in the movie though, because he murdered that woman all those years ago.
He was replaced by a sexier, younger version anyways in the second one.
Oh right, Robert Lowe.
Yeah, Raw.
Hey, that's great news. I can't wait for AI to replace us all and just replace all jobs, because why not? Except for, like, labor jobs, I guess. You still have to... Someone still needs to pour the concrete. Someone still needs to collect the garbage. Someone still needs to mop the floors, much like Channing Tatum in 2006's Step Up.
Oh, janitor to dancer?
Yeah, Channing Tatum. More like janitoring Tatum.
You got it.
Nailed it. Yeah, that's
good.
Big
performance. Yeah.
Do you want to hear my news?
Yes. I was going to ask you. I swear to
Martin?
God, I was going to ask you.
Huey Lewis and the News.com. Lots of great stuff on there about Huey Lewis and the Newest. And we got. Did you know that? If you go to their upcoming events page, they just list when Huey Lewis's podcast is getting released. That's like the upcoming events. So, like, he's got a Apple podcast called 80s Radio with Huey Lewis. And the most recent update was April 16th, where he put out his hair metal bands episode.
And did you listen to it?
No, I don't have Apple Music, so I don't have access to it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so sorry, Huey. I wish that I could support you, but... They say it's all right. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, you're supporting them in your own way, which is promoting it on our platform.
That's true. And you know what? That's the podcast I'd like to bless this week, is 80s Radio with Huey.
Thank you. Thank Huey, and thank the 80s.
Hey, thank Huey.
Thank the here 80s.
Yeah, well, that's what's in the news. And she's gonna say, that's a fun little one. There's two in that one.
It was a good two. The look on your face when I say an F-bomb is priceless.
Because I only care if I say it. I'm the only one who's allowed to say it.
You're allowed to break the rules. Yep. I'm not. I get it.
I make them, so therefore I break them.
And you shake them.
Yeah, and I shake them. Speaking of shaking them, I got a very important question for you, Steve Creep. And that is, of course, Steve Creep, whomst was the Beggar Vance of Soul Surfer?
The shark! Now, Adam.
Yes?
Whomst do you believe was the Soul Surfer of Beggar Vance?
Well, thanks so much for asking, Steve. To me, the Beggar Vance of Soul Surfer was, of course, Kevin Sorbo. Without Kevin Sorbo, that chick would have lost her life. He saved her. He wrapped the shirt around her chopped off arm, and he saved her life. So thanks, Kev.
Now, could you pick Soul Surfer of Beggar Vance?
Oh, sure, of course. Matt Damon.
Yeah, that's my pick. Yeah. It's Matt Damon.
He's in that, right?
Yeah, he's the big shark.
Who's the woman? Is it Charlize Theron?
I think it is.
Damn, for a person who's never seen Bagger Vance, I sure know a lot about Bagger Vance.
You know more than any person I've ever talked to about Bagger Vance.
Well, that's because in high school, I didn't have friends. I had IMDb and IMDb trivia, and all I did was just scour that for hours and read all the bullshit that people wrote in there that was mostly lies.
And say IMDb these nuts.
Of course, yeah. IMDb these nuts. And boy, we still got 40 seconds left of this segment.
This was a short one. I think that you should all go out there and golf.
Sure. Yeah, and surf.
Golf and surf and ski, the California trilogy.
Yep. Has anyone ever hit a golf ball off a surfboard while catching a wave and sitting on top of the world?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well,
problem is the grass.
Exactly. Yeah, they're too busy smoking it, and they should be whacking it. Didn't come out right.
And seaweed is very jealous of grass, so.
Yeah, it's the grass of the ocean.
Yeah, which is like a derogatory term.
Oh, yeah. They hate when you call them the grass of the ocean. They get so offended about it.
We're way saltier.
Yeah, clearly. I can tell.
We give you electrolytes.
Do you?
Yeah, salt.
People love seaweed.
People love salt.
They do, of course. Well, that's why you use the seaweed, because there's not enough salt in things these days.
Rice doesn't have enough salt, and I'll die on that hill.
Yeah, do you put seaweed in your rice?
Yeah.
I can't think of a more disgusting combination.
Do you put soy sauce in your rice?
No. I put ketchup.
No.
No, I put ketchup and mustard on my rice, like a real man.
Yeah, like a real American Haitian.
Hey, when you were a kid, was ketchup like the condiment? Was ketchup just like a catch-all condiment that could go with everything?
Yeah, they tried to force it on me like every day. And I was like, I don't want. I want vinegar. I want mustard.
Yeah. You are a mustard man.
I did rebel against the system and dipped my fries in mustard at the hockey rink. And I was like, look, I'm cool. I'm adult now.
That's right. I'm dipping my fries in mustard like an adult would.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, I want ketchup. So basically, I'm an alpha, and y'all bitches better recognize.
You were so close, though. Like, if you'd have just gone one more step to mayonnaise, you would have been a trendsetter.
I would have been a trendsetter. Yeah. Even if I, like, mixed mayo and mustard together or something, that would have been great.
Musto.
Musto. Have you ever had musto?
No. I also never had mayo chup.
That's what I like to have with my sausage rolls.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, okay. You could eat a sausage roll for hours, I know.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, for real. Who couldn't? Like, I can't even imagine eating a peach for hours. I can't imagine eating anything for hours. Hours. Plural. Multiple hours. One thing.
I still think the peach emoji should be a
Barton
and not a butt.
Right. Yep. For sure. I guess we don't have. I guess we don't have an emoji for that, huh?
Not yet. There's like a flower, maybe.
There's eggplant. There's peach. But then there's not another one.
Mm-hmm.
And peach is for all stars and stripes. Anyone can have a peach.
Yeah. And I feel like a peach is too soft and succulent for a butt.
Is Nicolas Cage saying to that girl, "I could eat your ass for hours"? Is that what he's saying to her?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I like that.
See, this is why I thought it was the other side. Because why would Nicolas Cage eat a butt for hours?
For hours. Hours.
Like a couple of minutes, I understand. It's very pleasurable.
All right. Well, hey, keep it in your bedroom, pal.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it for everybody.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you're gross. You're gross.
Eat ass once.
No, I know your wife. I don't need to know this about you two. I know your wife, and I love your wife.
I would never eat my wife's.
Say it again. Text it to your wife right now in response to her broken phone comment.
Nah. Hey, do you want to know if she replied?
I do, yeah. I hope she replied. I'm coming home, and you're eating my ass for hours tonight.
Oh, I had them both in my pockets and they got waterlogged.
Waterlogged?
How did I do that?
Yeah, who are you, Steve Urkel?
I'm holding my phone right now. She didn't do shit.
Are you Stefan Urkel?
I don't know what she's on about, but...
I don't know. Just tell her...
We're going to have it out when
text
she
her,
gets home.
Text her back and tell her that you would eat her ass for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah. He's lying, listeners. He is not doing it. He's not brave enough to make a joke with his wife.
I'm doing it right now.
He's not brave enough to make a joke with his wife. I can't believe it.
I honestly have no idea. She might be having a brain aneurysm. The context of this text makes no sense to me.
Well, good luck to you, and good luck to her, most importantly.
Yeah, great luck to her.
Oh, the greatest luck. Mm-hmm. Could this be the greatest luck of all? Hey, we got one more segment to get to, and then finally we can talk about 2006's Step Up. Yeah, of course, and that segment is, of course...
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
God. Oh, hang on. Okay, good.
Oh, God. So this came out, thankfully, at 8:51 a.m. on April 18th, 2023, 182,800 views.
Terrible. Terrible numbers, Kev. Terrible. If it's not over 500,000, I don't get out of bed for less than 500,000.
And this one's, you know, slightly racist, so it should have had some, clicks.
Yeah, where's the outrage?
He's freaking blowing it, man. So the tweet goes thusly, I can't believe we don't have world peace after changing the pancake boxes and syrup bottles.
Kevin, you suck. You suck, and your takes are bad, and your brain is bad. And I don't believe that you believe what you're saying. I think you're saying it to try to keep relevancy and stay in the spotlight when you're just a washed-up old has-been who hasn't made an interesting film in maybe ever. You're a loser, Kevin Sorbo. You're a huge loser with nothing going for you except for a bunch of Christo-fascists who S your D and lap up all the diarrhea you let out every day. You're a loser. An absolute zilch.
There's an interview out there where somebody asks him, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing all this? And he responds with, like, I'm a good actor or something like that. So I truly believe he just found a niche to make a lot of money.
Yep.
And to say the most offensive bullshit. And that makes it so much worse that he's just shilling for terrible people.
Yeah. Kevin, in the history books, you'll go down as a monster. It doesn't matter if you were pretending or not. You're still doing it, and you're garbage for it. When we say it, we're joking.
And we're not saying Monstar.
No, no, no. No, you wish you could go work for Swackhammer. You wish.
Big Space Jam fan.
Yeah, big Space Jam fan. Kevin, you suck and your tweets suck, and that's why nobody's engaging with them. It's why your Twitter is failing, because nobody cares. You tweet garbage and you're a loser. You're a huge loser, Kevin. And if I meet you on the street, I'll say it to your face. You're a huge loser.
I would want to twist your nipples, but I don't want to touch you.
No, God, no. Oh, unlike Channing Tatum in this movie, who asks a man point blank, why don't you touch me?
Good stuff.
We love you, Kevin. We love you, Kevin.
Yeah, well, we love the state you're in.
Hey, Texas.
Yeah, it's bigger and better in Texas.
That's true, except for the taxes, which are smaller and non-existent.
And the pancake boxes.
Of course, yes. The pancake boxes, yeah. A thing that the company just did. Nobody asked them to do it. Nobody got mad about Aunt Jemima. Nobody got mad about that. They just did it because they were like, oh, this is racist. We should, like, do better as a company. And also, you know, go woke, don't go broke, get rich as frick.
Yeah, they didn't even go to whiteface first. They just, like, got rid of them.
Yeah, that's what they should have done, is just replaced her with, I don't know, Maya Rudolph or something.
Bozo the Clown.
Sure, Bozo the Clown. Bimbo the Clown.
Famous whiteface.
That's true, the whitest face around. Just replace Aunt Jemima with Joker. Just put Joker on everything now.
Yeah. Joker's good.
Oh, Joker's great. Oh my god. The way he shot Robert De Niro in the head. Oh my god, Joker's great.
The way it evokes card games?
True, yeah. The way I've never seen it, but only know it through memes, yeah.
You've never seen The Joker.
I have no interest in it. I just, whatever. I'm sure it's fine, but like, life is short, and I only have time for four-hour Bollywood movies and then the movies we watch for this show. I don't have time for any other media, really.
I have cut out specific dates and times to watch RRR, and I haven't yet, and I'm very upset about it.
Do it. You're going to love it. It's an Academy Award-winning movie.
It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing, but that three-hour time frame just has really stopped me so far. But I'm going to do it.
Here's the thing. That movie is pretty cleanly broken up into segments. Like, you could watch the first hour of it, or like the first segment, and go, okay, I'm gonna take a pause here. Then you come back and you watch the next segment, and you could take a pause after that as well. Like, it's 3 hours, but there's pretty like self-contained stories and then an overall story. So you could break it up. You don't have to do the whole thing in one shot.
Well, I will.
Okay, you should. It's better that way.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you can't do it, it's okay to break it up. It's okay to take pauses.
I mean, of course, I'm going to take a squirt. I'm going to go get some Fanta from the fridge. But, you know, rest in pieces.
Hey, when you eventually do watch RRR, let me know, and I'll watch it too, and then we can just do a podcast about it, because I friggin' love that movie.
We'll watch it poo.
Oh, the dance they do? Oh, my God. One of the many dances they do, but the one that won the Academy Award. Oh, my God, so good.
Speaking of dances... is it better than the dancing in this movie?
Yeah, it is. Because it's not shitty mid-2000s choreography and clothing and music. It's better in every conceivable way, actually, other than Channing Tatum's not in RRR.
I like the end dance in this movie. I also like just Channing Tatum dancing around and his friends clapping him intermittently and going,
That scene where he's dancing outside with the car, and then afterwards his friends just hug him and they're like, yeah, man. It's like, he was just dancing. Relax.
And then, like, I got the intention that he does that a lot. Like, they hang out a lot and he just dances and they're like,
Well, he dances, the tall guy plays basketball, and Skinny gets shot and killed. That's what each of them are there for.
And according to the end credits, they're all dancers, but they're not utilized whatsoever.
Skinny is a dancer?
Yeah, he's like a break dancer, I mean, man. He can dance.
He's dancing with the devil right now, as far as I'm concerned.
I swear there's like a whole other section of this movie on the cutting room floor that they didn't use, because... everybody in this movie is a dancer. Maybe not the DJ guy at the fancy school, but
Mario?
Everybody else can break dance. Like, even the tall basketball player can dance.
Heavy D, a.k.a. Omar the car thief, that guy can dance?
He can dance.
Damn. So you think you can dance?
Based on this series and what I know of these movies... I really thought when that guy pulls out a gun at the beginning, they were going to, like, put it down and then breakdance. Like, I just assumed there was going to be a breakdance right there.
Right, you thought Channing Tatum was going to do the wave, and then at the end of the wave, knock the gun out of the guy's hand.
Yeah, and accidentally shoot Skinny, and that's, you get that over quick.
Yeah, oh yeah, get the Skinny death out of the way right away, so we don't have to deal with it in the last 20 minutes of the movie. Who has time for that?
After Skinny's death, I paused the movie and saw there was only 20 minutes left, and I knew that, like, 5 or 6 of that is going to be credits.
Yeah.
So I was, like, instantly disappointed that there wasn't, like, a 20 to 30 minute dance sequence at the end.
Well, there is a dance sequence at the end.
5 minutes, tops. 3, maybe?
Sure, yeah. I mean, this is... here's the thing. Like I said, the seeds for what the series will become are planted here. So yes, there is a short dance number at the end, but they go, oh, the people want more. You know what the people don't want? Well, you know what? We won't even get to all that. Let's save that for 2 weeks from now for Step Up 3D when they figure out what the hell this series actually is.
Exactly. This movie is basically Save the Last Dance, but instead of having a black guy, they went with a white guy.
True, yeah, or also Honey. It's also got a lot of shades of Honey, which is also a great movie. I love Honey with Jessica Alba and Missy Elliott, who is a big part in that movie for some reason.
Honey's great, though. There's a lot of dancing in Honey. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was wanting, and as we discussed last year with all the stripping movies, it's hard to take notes and watch a dancing movie.
True, yeah. Well, it's hard to take notes and watch a dancing movie with your dinger in your hand. That's for sure.
That is a for sure. But, like, every exciting moment of this movie is coupled with dancing. So it's always taking notes and then looking up and being like, oh, I missed, like, a bunch of dancing.
Oh, I missed a patented Channing Tatum backflip, of which he does two in this movie.
Is that it? Is that the only backflips he does?
Two? Yeah, he does one off the car when he's dancing for his pals before they hug him. And then he does
at the end. He does one at the end.
Like during the big dance number?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's three Channing backflips because he does one at the party where Mario, the DJ, plays with that band because he's trying to impress that girl whose boyfriend is the lead singer of the band and cheating on her.
I didn't like that scene.
Me neither.
Because Channing Tatum is just stumbling around looking like an idiot trying to keep up with this very choreographed party dance.
It's so unfair of them to put him in that situation and be like, keep up!
But you're also supposed to be like, wow, he can't do it, but he's really good.
He's the best!
It's just very annoying.
It's very sad. I hate to see him struggle.
Yeah. And, like, he does do good dance moves, but he's just trying to pick everything up on the fly. Like, just dance your own thing or go to the side.
Get out of the way. Don't be the center of attention the way you are in that scene.
It was weird and off-putting.
It is, for sure. I totally get what you mean. And also, just like, when did y'all choreograph this? When did this come together? That's my, like, as the series goes on, they go like, who cares? People just dance now. But in this movie, it's like grounded in the real world. And they're like, oh, we go to this art school and then we go to this party and everyone does this choreographed dance. When did you figure that out? When did that happen?
It's blowing my mind. I asked this of my wife, and she's a huge fan of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, well, they do this all the time. And there is a scene right before, at the end of the dance, and somebody goes like, oh my god, this was the craziest it's ever been. Nobody shows up like this at all.
Right.
And then in the following scene, Channing Tatum's like, so you guys do all this all the time? And like, yeah, we do this all the time.
Yeah. Maybe they meant that like the 16 people that were dancing are there all the time, and then the other people there aren't there all the time. So it's always just this small core group of people choreographed dancing in a I don't know, a venue of some kind.
It is probably what they meant, but it's just weird that those conversations happen like back to back.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, yeah. It's, you know, the mysteries of the universe, and that's what Channing Tatum's after in this movie.
He's after being a total piece of crap in this movie.
Certainly at the start. Why'd those boys just start breaking stuff?
Well, they see something break something, which is all foster kids' lives.
Oh, yeah. Foster kids, bad kids. All bad kids from the stance of this movie.
Yeah, single-parent kids, bad kids.
The worst. Single parents? Bad. Especially if it's a woman. Bad.
Yeah, they're both women.
Whomst is a woman?
The female lead's single mom. True. And also the basketball player is single mom.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that she's also a single mom. Well, there you go.
Nice tits, though, throughout this movie.
Hey, and now she's got one less mouth to feed, so that's great. Skinny, you saved your family. Your death saved your family. Now they don't have to feed you as you're just about to enter puberty, and that'll save on the grocery bills.
Well, they'll probably get a huge payout from insurance or something.
From the bullet manufacturers? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Stupid ass idiot.
There's a lot of money in death.
True.
So they probably like move to California. Big ups in the lofts. And she gets a better job.
Oh, yeah.
He becomes a famous basketball player.
No, that guy's life is over. He's like, when he's standing out in near the end and Channing Tatum and him meet in the basketball court and he's wearing like a button-up shirt and like holding a bat, that's him being like, I have to leave this life behind. I have to go work at a grocery store now because I have to help my mom out. Like his dreams are dead. His life is over at this point. He's just about to become a miserable, shit life, awful loser at that point. So he gets actually a very tragic ending in this movie.
I honestly thought they were going to have a freeze frame photo of him, like, saying, and he went on to be the number one scoring center in the NBA right. or something like that. Like, that's, I know that's exactly what he probably does, is get a shitty job and has a terrible life from there on in, and should have just, like, kept stealing cars.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But as far as the movie world is concerned, I thought they were going to have, like, a glow up at the end.
Right. No, no, he doesn't deserve that. He, we never see him again, and presumably he dies, like, yeah. shortly after. Freeing up even more money for his mom. Like, if her two kids died, she would be on Easy Street.
Basically, his glow up is that he is okay with Channing Tatum going to an art school.
Yeah, the last we hear of him is him going, "I'll see you in the car," and then that's it, and just bon voyage.
And then he winks, and then the car explodes, and then cries.
And his mom goes, "Cha-ching." She's laughing at that point. Oh my god, one kid dead, there goes half that grocery bill. Other kid dead, I'm moving to California and getting a tan and getting friggin' laid.
Hell yeah. Does anybody get laid in this movie?
I don't know. That's a good question. Nobody eats ass for hours in this movie, I'll tell you that for free.
Definitely not. The principal of the art school, oh,
big
is bazoos, very sexy.
Yeah, big bazoos for sure.
Especially in her first scene with that like sweater, but they're kind of spread out.
Nah,
I don't
good.
Know. It's just on.
It's on, man. It's on. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's as you said her. I picked. Oh yeah, that first outfit for sure.
That first outfit is wild. Me and the wife were both going off on it.
Oh,
we were snapping our fingers.
Packing Dingmans. Oh, yeah.
Hell
hey,
yeah.
I might be Montel, but you're going all Jerry Springer.
The thing with marriage is you can whip it out whenever.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, get your wife to eat licorice to blacken the inside of her mouth.
What does that do?
It just hides her. I don't know. This is your fantasy. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. What did you think of... Channing Tatum and his ruffian friends break into this art school and then start smashing the place up because they're just little assholes. But then Channing Tatum gets like wrestled to the ground by like a 78-year-old security guard. What'd you think of that little piece of action?
I think I was taking notes.
All right.
I didn't see the tackle because I was writing some stupid note about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly thought that... what's the basketball player's name? Omar?
I don't Epps? Know. Sure, it's Omar Epps.
I thought he was going to get caught.
Yeah, he does get caught, and then he breaks loose, and Channing Tatum helps him, and then Channing Tatum gets caught.
Thank you for explaining that scene.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, you were taking notes, so...
Yeah. What did I write?
The security guard is so old. He's such an old man, and he just has his knee in Channing Tatum's back, and Channing Tatum's like, "Way to go, Rent-A-Cop." He's so mad at him.
Well, you hate Rent-A-Cops when you're poor.
Yeah. But also, like, you were smashing this place up, man. Like,
fun.
You were tearing down the curtains and smashing vases and, like, tipping over walls. Like, you were destroying this place. So, yeah, you're in trouble now. You get 200 hours of community service.
It starts with Skinny accidentally breaking one of the windows in the school. And at that point, I would be like, okay, run. But his thought process is, let's smash it more and go inside.
Well, first of all, I just need to issue a correction. Channing Tatum smashes that window. He throws the thing and Skinny dodges it and it smashes. And then Skinny kicks out the rest of the window. But it's Channing Tatum who gets the ball rolling here.
Well, the taint is yummy.
He's got agency in this movie.
Agency to... wreak havoc because his life sucks.
Yeah, his life does suck. Yeah, not as much as that loser who makes music and is like not Mario. I'm talking about Brett, the girl's boyfriend, who is like, "Oh, I got like a, I'm going to New York. I got a contract with a record company. I'm out of here." And it's like, your music's not very good, and also like this genre of music is going away very quickly, pal.
I gotta disagree. I thought his singing was absolutely excellent. He was such like a alpha to Channing Tatum's alpha, and their frosted tips were just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and he says things like, "I'm just so close with my music."
Yeah. And he is. Can he be passionate about his thing? He's got to drop everything to help his woman.
Right? And I love it when she's like, help me dance. Be the stand-in for my dance. And he's like, I'm a musician. Like, he seems like the last person that you'd want to help you. He would be a hindrance.
Well, he does say, help me, Rhonda, and then spits in her face.
He does, yeah. It's shocking, but he does.
Yeah, it was a weird writing tool.
Well, and she goes, ah, that's just musicians for you.
Yeah, well, Help Me, Rhonda's a good song.
Yeah?
And she can't argue that.
Mm-mm. She also can't argue that that's how musicians are. Much like that other girl whose boyfriend is a singer and cheats on her, and she's just like, hey, you know musicians. And Mario's like, what are you doing? Why are you taking him back? What's the matter with you? And he's right.
But, I mean, that's a ride to success. I mean, they do get deals. They are making buco bucks, so...
Well, that's not proven. We don't know that. I mean, he has more chance at success than a dancer does, I guess.
Yeah. Well, society rewards the a-holes, and this movie is proof positive.
I'd like to do a little experiment with you here. All right?
Yes.
Name a singer. Name a successful singer musician.
Cameron Diaz.
No really. Name an actual one.
Bono.
Perfect. Name a famous dancer who is known just for dancing.
Can't do it.
Me neither, because it doesn't exist. Baryshnikov is dead.
I was going to name that group with the masks.
Oh, the Jabberwockies.
The Jabberwockies. Yeah.
Sure, but all of them are replaceable and interchangeable. Who knows how many Jabberwockies there have been that have ended up in a pile somewhere?
Like, if I was a rich white man, I'd be licking my lips at the Jabberwockies, because I could just replace them whenever I wanted to and keep paying them minimum contracts.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like your contract? Well, guess what? You wear a mask and no one knows you're in this group. So guess what? You're gone, pal. You're out of here. There's a new Jabberwocky on the scene.
Somebody get the next Jabberwocky from the trailer stuffed with Jabberwockies.
They might actually be in one of these movies at some point. They might be in the fifth one, if I remember, or the fourth one. There's one Step Up World Tour. There's one that the Jabberwockies might actually be in.
I legitimately liked that dance competition show that the Jabberwockies were in. I liked the dancing.
I don't know what that was. I know what you're talking about. I never watched. I don't know what the show is or anything.
It was really fun. It was great. I love breakdancing.
Yeah.
Dancing just like comes across as fun on screen.
Yeah, I like watching people dance in movies and on screens. I don't like being around people that are dancing or singing or doing anything creative when I'm around them. Get away from me.
Yeah, I don't like going out and watching people be creative.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, like, in the right context, it's fine. But if I went to that school and people were just, like, singing really passionately in the hall and playing violins while I was trying to walk by, I'd be like, get me out of here. I hate this. This school is awful. Why is everyone singing the national anthem? I hate this.
Why is everybody doing ballet?
Yeah, what is this? Where do you think that's going to get you?
Nowhere. Nowhere to China.
Maybe to China. That's where the Jabberwockies are.
That is where the Jabberwockies are.
Weren't they?
Well, they're everywhere in all things.
Am I wrong? Were they not a group? Were they not Chinese? I thought the Jabberwockies were. Oh boy,
okay.
This is getting cut out. This is getting cut out. It doesn't matter. I'm cutting this out.
No, we got to leave this in. Are the Jabberwockies Chinese?
Oh God. Well, we'll find it. What the answer to this is going to determine if this gets cut or not.
American.
Ooh, cut. Totally cut.
I can also see their faces in this pic. This
oh my God. They're a bunch of Latinx.
Yeah, it could be.
Turns out I wasn't even close. I was way off.
How do you feel about the female lead being Latinx-ish in this movie?
Fine, I guess. I don't know. Like, she's kind of... I mean, she's very pretty. I'll give her that. And she's a very good dancer. And is she a good actress? Sure. Why not? Fine.
Got a tight body.
How did I feel about her being Latinx? I feel like that's not ever specified. That's a guess. Because her mom is white.
White as hell. But I feel like they tried to have... not two white people as the lead, and I applaud them for that. That is my Steve Creep salute of the week.
I mean, they're the only white they're the only white people in the main cast of the movie. Everyone else is black or Latinx or whatever. So yeah everyone else is they're surrounded by culture.
Rush the boat.
That's getting cut. What else? Hey, what did you think of Camille, aka Channing Tatum's adopted younger sister who can dance?
I thought it was so funny when they have their little scene at the end and you discover that they both spend a lot of time secretly dancing and not dancing to each other.
Right.
They're both confounded that that they can both dance and really well.
Yeah they've been secretly dancing for a long time from the looks of it, and it's like, god, all those wasted years of secrecy.
She's in subsequent films.
Oh,
right?
I was gonna say get used to her face, because she becomes like one of the main stars of this franchise.
I also think she's in Cheaper by the Dozen.
She is, and she's also in a bunch of Missy Elliott music videos. Alison Stoner is had a real underground moment where it was just like, damn, Alison Stoner is everywhere if you know where to look.
Yeah, she probably didn't get any of the money either.
I doubt it, yeah, and I don't know what she does now, but boy, there was a real moment where she was like, yeah, she was it, kind of, in a small circle.
Well, I choose to believe that she went on and did something that she loved that wasn't in the public eye.
Yeah, I can't wait till she meets Moose. Oh my god, bring on Moose.
I knew Moose was going to be brought up today, but I hate Moose. I think he's too skinny and weird looking.
Well, you're right, but you're also wrong to hate him. But you're right that he's skinny and weird looking.
I am also wrong, because that's very judgy, and you can look as skinny and weird-looking as you want.
True, except for Channing Tatum, who needs to be a buff beefcake.
Yeah, he is a buff beefcake.
Hey, what did you think of the music in this movie?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty great, actually.
I mean, at first I was like, oh, this is just going to be a bunch of, like, free beats off of YouTube that they got nobody rappers to rap over. And then within the first 10 minutes, there's just a full-on Clips song being played. And I'm like, oh, ain't ya? I like that song by Clips. That's a good song. And then they just real music is playing. There's a Pitbull song in this movie. There's a song that sounds like Prince, but it's not Prince. It's some guy named Novel who we'll never hear from ever again. There's lots of great stuff in this movie.
I thought the original music was quite good. All the stuff that the DJ comes up with is okay.
Yeah.
I thought the songs that they used were really good. Just in general, their sound person should be given an Oscar.
You step up, I'll step up too. Right? That was a song.
That song sucks.
No, that song's great. I love when they, you know what? They did that classic thing where the movie says the name of the movie in it, but this time they did it via music.
I don't like when they use the movie title in songs, but I did like it today.
Ah, well, you step up, I'll step up too. But T-O-O, not to the streets.
I'll step up for you.
God,
what they should have
used. Can't wait for Step Up to the Streets. Oh my god, it's going to be good.
Well, I want to get back to the streets. I want to get back to real dancing. I want actors that aren't actors
and
are dancers.
You want Latinx, and you're going to get it in the next one, my man. Because I think the next one takes place in Miami.
It's Miami.
Ooh, there's also a Sean Paul song in this movie, and the female vocalist on that Sean Paul song is the lead actress of the movie. So that's a weird little bit of meta world building.
Yeah, meta world piece. That's good.
Well, you step up, I'll step up too. What did you think of the band being like, hey, DJ, why don't you play with us? And he was just like, all right, I'll press buttons on my G4, whatever the hell that is, and mix this track up, I guess, live.
It's a very odd combination of skills. Because when he plays, they can't play, but they are still playing. And he just interrupts their songs that they've recorded or, like, they've rehearsed and know specifically, and then he just stops them and plays what he plays.
Yeah, he just remixes it live, and they go, we can roll with this.
Yeah, I think that would be much tougher to do in practice.
Like, this movie is really trying to posit that, like, if a DJ showed up, people would be excited at a party.
Well, you gotta have a DJ. It's the mid to early 2000s.
2006.
Is there any scratches, though?
I don't think he's that kind of DJ. He doesn't, like, have any equipment from... He has a laptop. I don't know what a G4 is, but that's what he uses. It looks like an 808s machine, but I don't think that's what it is. I don't know.
Soundboard, I thought.
I think that is what it is, but what are you doing with that? Why is anyone excited to see him? He just comes up and plays beats that they don't even know if he made those beats or not. He's just playing beats.
He mouths sounds in the microphone, I think.
He does. He does grab a mic and just start rapping at one point.
You gotta have a little bit in the movie.
You gotta. Well, when you got Mario in the cast, what are you gonna do? Not have him sing?
That is exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you step up, I'll step up too.
This is one of my notes. Taint Yum's got it.
And he's right.
I'm glad I wrote that down.
Taint Yum, they definitely got it.
Well, he does got it. Like, it is specific to the movie and his acting. But why I felt the need to stop watching the movie and write that down is beyond me.
I don't know. This movie also does a good job of capturing the life of a custodian and showing you how maddening that work is, where you mop and you vacuum and then people just track mud over it immediately and you go, what am I doing with my life? Why am I doing this? This is Sisyphean.
I really loved when he's in the music classroom and he's like non-electrically vacuuming those stairs, and then he just starts rage hitting those stairs
that a guy is sitting in, and he's just like, get the farting out of here, pal.
That is unhinged, man.
Speaking of unhinged, when you ran your fingers through your hair, you got a real Meet the Deedles thing going on there for a second. It was a good look.
Well, yeah, I'm growing my hair out to make myself look more like Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, it's working.
Yeah, I'm going to get big cigars soon.
You have beautiful brown, thin hair. It looks so good.
So thin. All I've wanted in my life is thick hair.
Oh, you didn't get it, pal. Neither did I, so don't even feel bad about it.
No, all I wanted was an afro when I was a kid, and I didn't understand why I couldn't.
I mean, what else? I don't know. Is there anything else? They do a thing. There's a big dance at the end. Channing Tatum gets into the art school. You know, skinny dead, who cares?
He constantly screws up, and he constantly abandons his dance partner to live this shitty life in the streets stealing cars. And then he just keeps doing it until, at the very last moment, he comes to the dance recital, and he wins. He wins the hearts of the minds of the school.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll ever hear from Tyler again in this franchise. Because I don't remember if... I know Channing Tatum's not in any of the rest of the movies, but I wonder if we're going to, like, hear about him. If Alison Stoner, Camille, is going to, like, say something about him at some point. Like, oh, Tyler, yeah, he was killed.
Oh, yeah, my brother, yeah, dead.
Oh, yeah, my brother, he started the Jabberwockies. You'd never know it, but it's him.
That's why they use the masks.
That big one? Oh, that's Shaq. That's the big one.
I'm surprised he never returns to this, but I guess he was young and this was the start of his like big career and he wants to like leave that behind, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, well, he wants to do dancing movies where he can take his clothes off, and he's not really allowed to do that in this.
May I take my clothes off?
Hey, man.
Should we just call this May I Take My Clothes Off?
No, because this is May I Have This Dance.
Okay, May I Have This Dance. It's innocent. But it's also just, it flows.
Yeah. Well, dance is akin to sex. So if you can do one, you can do the other. And if you can't do either, then what's your deal?
It's mostly about the hips, right?
I think so. And the nips.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve Creep, what did you think of 2006's Step Up?
Honestly, it was kind of just like, it just washed over me like a wave. It was a whatever movie. It was entertaining at moments, but it was really kind of exactly like a lot of movies of this time. Mm-hmm. But I think what makes this very exciting and why I'm rock hard for it is like to see what happens to this franchise and see how this fits and starts the rest of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. as a like a pretty boilerplate romantic movie, if that's what you're after, then you're gonna love this movie. But if you're after a good Step Up movie, this is probably the weakest of the five. Like, this is definitely it's a franchise that gets better as it goes on. So, and not to say this movie's bad, it's great, but they get even greater as we go on from here.
If your mind just like turns off when there is anything other than dance on the screen, you're probably not gonna want to watch this movie.
No, skip straight to three. Don't even worry about two right now. Just go straight to three. If you're after dance, you'll get it in 3, 4, 5.
How'd you do during this watch? Did you enjoy it? Was it kind of like, I just want to get to the good stuff?
No, I used to own all the Step Up movies on Blu-ray. I had real nice 1080p Blu-rays, and then pawned them all for drug money, probably. And so I regret that. I remember when I took them into the place to get like cash for them, the guy was like, "Oh, you sure like the Step Up movies, huh?" And I was like, "Just give me the fucking money, pal. Like, don't give me shit about this. Just take my Blu-rays and give me the money."
They got a lot of shitty days at those pawn shops. So I kind of get how terrible they are as human beings.
Yeah.
But it always is shocking when you experience terrible pawn shop people. I was at a pawn shop and some guy was trying to argue the price for a Super Nintendo.
Oh my God.
And he's like, and it was just so dumb because he was trying to get a deal. And he's like, "Why is it so much money?" And the guy working just had enough and said, "Greed."
Really? That's so funny.
It was great.
I love it. Well, hey, that guy is my Bagger Vance for sure.
Yeah, he's the Bagger Vance of life. Yeah. Big ups to you.
All stars and stripes. Mm-hmm. Hey, until next week, I love you.
I love you.
We love you. Please. See, I put this song because it's like kind of hip hoppy and
the P, the U, the R, the E, the B,
you
the
understand.
O, the Y, the and S. It's pure
if
boys.
It's better than Chiz's, just for me, yeah, I have this dance.
The P,
if you
the U,
didn't say
the
anything,
R, the E,
I probably
the B,
wouldn't
the O, know. The Y, the S. It's pure boys.
That's how plugged in you are.
Say what?